Hello, everybody. How are you? Good. I'm excited to be back here at this particular time. I know it was we were facing some very difficult 2 years where things were locked up. And like Dr. Sherry says, that we were delayed in some of the things that we needed to be done. He spoke of what God did in Chimoyo, Mozambique, and there is a revival going on in that place. Even during the time of the COVID, I managed to go to Mozambique to see what the Lord is doing, and the fire is spreading. What God did ignite in Mozambique is huge, and you know, the sad part is most of these people are running with zeal without knowledge, and that is very dangerous. You know, you don't need to have zeal and not have knowledge with that zeal. You know, you can be very sincere, but sincerely wrong. That happens. So we want to thank God for this opportunity that he has brought me here, so that again we can find how to step out into that which God wants done. Okay, so this morning I want to be talking to you a little bit about knowing God. Okay, let me see where we can begin from. How many people know the American President Joe Biden? Raise your hand if you know him. Come on, I said, if you know him, raise your hand. You know, some people are not confident. Okay. If you are going to ask me, I don't know him, but I've heard of him. Okay? It's one thing to hear about somebody and you think you know the person. It's another thing to sit face to face with somebody and begin to know them. Because when you meet somebody face to face, then not only are you hearing about him, you can begin to sense everything about him, the frequency, the energy, the vibration about this person, and everything changes. A lot of people have heard about God, but do not know him. A lot of people talk about God, but they don't know him. A lot of people sing about God, but they do not know him. A lot of people are busy with the things of God, but they do not know God of those things that they are about with. You read in the Bible, you see a lot of examples. A lot of examples of people who were even serving God, but not knowing God. The very first time when Peter went to a heathen's house, this man was serving God, this man was giving alms, this man for many years, but he had never experienced God. He didn't know God. He was just working with what he had been told about God. until when God sent Peter to him, because an angel had appeared to this man and he was told to call for Peter so that he can lead him to Christ. And so Peter went there. We know this story. So I want you to check yourself, because I've discovered that most of the problems we have in the church and with God's people is that we have heard about God, but we have not experienced God in our lives. We have not have an encounter with God. I want to take us to a passage of scripture in the Bible, in the book of Acts chapter 27. Okay? From verse 21. That's where we want to read from the Word of God. Hello? Are we together? Am I clear? Is somebody hearing me?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. You know, there is a wonderful story there. Where, let me give you the background of that story. Paul went to Jerusalem and he was arrested there. Okay? There is a lot that people talk about that story, because how Paul ended up in Jerusalem, even against prophecies. Okay? Prophets stood up and told Paul that they see chains, and okay? Even from the four prophetic daughters of Philip, they spoke about Paul's arrest. Abagas, one of the prophets, spoke about that arrest. And all the same, Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem. We can have a sermon about that, because a lot of people are getting into things that are not sanctioned by God. Even spiritually, we have a lot of casualties where people have tried to do things that God has not mandated them to do. It's not every battle that you are cut out for. Listen to me and hear me in the Spirit of God. I know of guys, we have dealt with situations where people have gone to do deliverance to some people, and God has not sent them to do that. And they end up in very serious trouble. Very strange things start happening to them. Conditions that they were not prepared for. Because God has not sent you to do that. Paul had been given grace to the Gentiles, but he's pushing to go to Jerusalem. And he gets arrested. And was there, being judged by the chief priests and all these, you know, religious leaders. Then he appeals to go to Caesar. And then all of a sudden, they decide to take him to Caesar. And he is put in a ship as a prisoner to go there. And then, on the journey, they came to a place. And Paul says, "Men and brethren, it's not safe for us to sail. It's not good. Let's not sail at this time." But then the word of God says, oh, come on. There we are. And then the word of God says, okay. The captain of the church, of the ship, decided to listen to some other guy there. Okay. Kevin was telling me one of our problems is we don't have ears. Ears that are as big as your ears. Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, you cannot have both. These ones cannot. It's either the spiritual ones are big and these natural ones are small. Or you have big of these ones and very small of the spiritual one. Okay. Alright. Some funny guys here. Yeah. Yesterday we had a lot of fun. Okay. So, you know, the captain of the ship and they and this guy who was in charge of the prisoners, they did not give heed to what Paul was talking. Many times the advice from the servants of God is disregarded. A lot of things are sounded from this place. But all of a sudden, when things begin to misbehave in our businesses with our children, all this kind of stuff, we end up getting involved with the occult guys. Come on now. Yes, we bring them to come and cleanse our houses. We bring them to come and do some stuff in our homes. And these guys, hear me and listen to me good. Because they are involved with spiritual things, they can say things that are accurate. Hello? Because a lot of us, when somebody says something accurate, we believe they are being used of God. The devil knows some stuff. You know some stuff. You know, I see this repeatedly over and over with some of the television. You know, we see some of these telepreachers and all, and they are saying these kind of things. And we have problems because they are telling us the truth. They tell you the name of your wife. And already you are saying, oh man of God, prophesy. You listen to me and hear me go. It's necessarily not of God. In chapter 16 of Acts of the Apostles.
Sorry, it's the ears.
It's the ears, I know. You have to struggle with that a little bit. Alright. There is a small girl who had brought a lot of profit to the masters because of soothsaying. Because she would say stuff. Then Paul and Silas and Barnabas get to this place. And this girl tells the people, these are servants of the Lord, which is correct, very accurate. They preach to you the way of salvation, which is correct. Listening to them, which is correct. There was nothing wrong in all that she says. And the Bible says this happened for many days. Until a point when the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul that the spirit operating in this girl is not of God. So at times we get involved with these things and we say, because they are accurate, then it's of God. No ways. The spirits do know some stuff. So these guys decided not to listen to Paul, and they continued with the journey. And they ended up in trouble. So I'm reading from Acts chapter 27, okay? These days, people don't like to open the Bible. Hello? But some of us, Verse 21, but after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. You know, a lot of us end in disaster and some loss. Why? Because we are not paying heed to what the set man of the house is teaching us. Okay? Because there are some people who say good things that, you know, these end times people have itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. But this is not serving us. So what happened? We bring a lot of harm, a lot of disaster, a lot of misery, a loss to our lives. But now I beg you to be in good spirits and take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only for the sheep. For this night there stood by my side an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve and worship. Hello? Look at that. There appeared an angel that stood with me. The moment I begin to talk off about angelic visitations, many of us are standing back and we think something wrong. We don't want to hear spiritual stuff. We think church is about coming and singing and having nice feelings and we say it has been a blessing when we go out there. And I think this is what has bewitched us. We have not experienced God Himself. But listen to Paul. Paul says, there stood by my side an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve and worship. Can we boldly say that? Do you know the God whom you serve? Have you had a God encounter? Oh, we have heard about Him. Our Christian walk has no incidents of encounters with God. We are just going through with the rest of the people. We are playing church games and gimmicks. There is a lot of that in the house of God. This is why there is no depth in the things we do. We have no prayer lives. Our lives are not affecting anybody. Even at the workplace, some of you, if I were to come to your workplace and say you are a Christian, everybody would laugh. Because your life is impacting nobody. You cannot even make a stance. Don't forget that this man who is speaking here is a prisoner. He is a prisoner, so they couldn't listen to him. Who would want to listen to a prisoner? The captain of the ship and the one in charge of the prisoners disregarded the word of Paul. But yet, when Paul is in they were in the midst of a storm. If you read carefully, you discover that it was a voyage that was terrible. There was darkness for 14 days. And they could not even eat. You see, when you sit down for food, things are okay. I'm telling you, things are okay. When you want to go for a 3-course meal, things are okay. Yeah. I had some wonderful time at his house, and I was eating the cook sister, and all these kind of things. Which is good. There is a time for that. But I want to tell you there are times where you have lost your appetite because things are not okay. There are times where even if you have the appetite, but you cannot sit and eat. It's darkness and you don't know what the future holds. You don't know if you are going to come out of that trouble. A lot of people make this mistake. They think if you are serving God, then it's a life guarantee, trouble-free life. You must ask some of us. Many times we have gone on forced fasts. You know a forced fast? Where you are forced to fast because there is nothing to eat. And thank God because I'm a Christian. You know the Bible says they had abstained from food. Not because they wanted to fast. But there was no room for that. And in all that, when things are happening like that, then the angel of the Lord stood with Paul. How come God is sending an angel, and yet we need the storm to stop? But he's sending an angel. Does it make sense? How does God operate? We are in trouble. And he doesn't end the trouble, but he sends an angel. He's sovereign. He should have stopped all that. But if you read the story carefully, the angel stands with Paul and tells Paul, don't be afraid. This is what is going to happen. And then he goes on to say, I have given all these people that sail with you into your hands. Huh? You are a prisoner. You don't sit where they decide what must happen. You are not part of that committee. You are not part of the city council. You are not in the board. You are not part of this. But God has given you the city of Polokwane into your hands. And how do you begin to administer that grace? You are not in a visible position. This is the idea. This is what church is all about. When Jesus says, upon this rock will I build my church. That word church there is like parliament. It's a secular word that Paul uses, that Jesus uses. That upon this rock will I build my parliament. What is a parliament? Parliament is a selected few who sit there and make decisions. And decrees that affect and determine how everyone behaves. They pass the laws, they discuss the laws, and this is the position of the church. We cannot have ZCC continue to influence what happens in Polokwane. We cannot have that. We cannot have that. This is what we must begin to understand. Paul is a prisoner. He's not the captain of the ship. He's not in charge of the prisoners. But all of a sudden God says, I have given everyone's life in this ship into your hands. Does House of Ministry understand the mandate of the Lord for us in this city? Why has he caused us to be in the north gate of the nation? And here we are busy playing games. We don't understand what God is about. And he says, we are going to lose the sheep, but not one life is going to be lost. This is the joy of knowing God in trouble. Then God begins to speak to you. Did you know that God can speak to you concerning your family? There are some people who are the Joseph of their family. The salvation of the family is in your hands. But all of a sudden, you are busy fighting with everyone. And they don't understand what you stand for. Because you get pissed off with trivials, very small things. They upset you and cause you to say wrong things, to act wildly. Do you know, do you really know who you are and why God put you in that family? A lot of us are saying all these kind of things. My family doesn't understand me. There's trouble in my family. There's this, and that. Consider Joseph. He was not the firstborn, not the secondborn, not the third, not the fifthborn, but he was the lastborn of his family. But then God begins to deal with him, and he begins to understand. He speaks his dreams, and there is trouble. And they sold him into all that. But eventually God elevates him and puts him there. And they are coming, and you know, if you know God, you are not, you don't have problems with any man. This is why racism is not an issue with me. You will never hear me talk about racism, because it's a trivial thing. Because when I look at you, I don't look at you after the flesh. You see what we are talking about? The brothers of Joseph, they come to him. And they are kneeling and they want to say some stuff. They want to apologize. But this man has long forgiven them. Because if they had not sold him, he would not be in the position where he is today. He says, you meant it for evil, but then God turned it for good. So it doesn't matter what things they are doing. They want you down, but if you know your God, when God opens a door before you, no man can shut it. When God turns around your situation, nobody can turn it back to the original position. Are you listening to me? We need to know the God whom we serve. Then we'll be able to deal with every one of our family members, everyone that works for us, everyone that is in the company we work for. I've always told people a story of how I was promoted when before 3 months when I got a job in the bank. Because the manager there was not pleased in how I was employed. It was a time when there was black advancement. So there was Mrs. B. Yulin, a white lady, and they had taken a black man to be the senior manager because it was black advancement. Okay? So I'm applying for a job in this bank, and instead of my letter going to the branch manager where they deal with people who are, it lands up in the regional manager's office. And you know, the simplest thing that you should have done was to take that letter and redirect it underground where there was the branch, of the bank, but it lands in that office, she looks at it. And she looks at my grades and my qualifications. And then she says to herself, I must train this guy. And this guy must take that position and I will be happy. Okay? I didn't know that. And she sends a guy, the bank manager, messenger, to come and pick me from home so that she can look at me and see me. And then we spoke and everything just happens, and eventually I'm employed and I'm at a branch and I'm working there. And then what happens? The bank changes policy that the head office was responsible for training all the workers, paying all that for their training. But then they say, okay, every branch has to do that stuff for themselves. Meanwhile, I've been employed in the relief pool and I'm not part of that branch where I am. So they decide not to send me for training. Because I'm an expense. You know, they cannot get me trained because I'm not part of their staff there. At the same time, Mrs. Yulin is checking on my progress, what they are doing with me. So one day she phones and they say, how is Alfred doing? And these guys, they have nothing to show. So there is a very senior course happening at the head office in Nairobi, and then they say, okay, they sent me to a very senior course. I'm sitting with everyone and personal introductions. They say, everybody, somebody saying 15 years in the bank, somebody saying 20, somebody saying 10, and they look at me and I'm saying, I'm less than a month in the bank. And they say, so what are you doing here? So at the end of the day, I work within that, the favor of God being on me, praying through this whole thing, and because when God brings you to a place, He knows how to sustain you there. Are you listening to me? Then, at the end of the month, we are having some examination to see. There was the practical and there was the theory side to it. And tell you what, there are 25 of us, only two guys had passed. And I was one of the two. Then there is a position in the bank, and that course which I had passed is what the bank uses to appoint somebody to that position. So the policy is, you must first look at the staff you have, then you can advertise if nobody can take it up from there. So they are saying, we need somebody to come and take the... And the head office says, but you have a guy who passed this course. Why don't you give him the position? They said, he's still on probation. We cannot give him the position. He's on probation. And the guy at the head office says, what is the promotion for? Is it not for you to check if the person knows how to do the job? So this guy has displayed that he is capable. Give him the position. And so I got a promotion while I was still on probation. Imagine the bank manager and every senior guy there, they are working against me. But all of a sudden, God prepares a table for me in the midst of my enemies. Amen. We need to know our God. We need to have an encounter with Him. In this thick darkness and trouble and the storm, the typhoon, the dying, God sends an angel to Paul and begins to communicate how God's salvation plan for everyone in that place. God can speak to you concerning the salvation of your family. God can speak to you concerning the salvation of this city. Hello? This is why I haven't left Zimbabwe. A lot of people have run out of Zimbabwe. We have over close to 4 million Zimbabweans living in South Africa. When the troubles of Zimbabwe started hitting, I was touring the world. 2007, I was in Switzerland, in Europe, preaching the gospel. And many from Nigeria that were part of the team decided to stay there. And they asked me, Alfred, are you going back? And I said, yes, I'm going back to Zimbabwe because God planted me there. If you know, change has to come, and I still believe it, that it will come. And again, Zimbabwe will be the breadbasket of Africa. Are you listening to me? This is why I get excited when I see some of you who are inquiring and asking to me, Alfred, is there a chance where we can buy land in Zimbabwe? I see what happens in your mind now when I begin to talk about this. Even Dr. Harry is talking. We need to buy some property where we begin to do training. It's not time to leave Zimbabwe. It's time to be there and begin to shift things in the spirit. And begin to change things in the spirit. And God demonstrated that 2017, in July, we were in Zimbabwe. And we met Emerson. Okay? He was then the vice president. Okay? And we met him. And we spoke to him. November, Emerson was part of the plan that kicked Robert Mugabe out. And he became a president. And he has made a choice to turn away from the purpose of God. But we managed to shift the cloud that was over the nation. All of a sudden, people now believe, because Mugabe was the biggest hindrance. People thought that he was going to be there until he dies. But God changed that whole thing. And I still believe God is going to change it again. And I'm not going to read about it and to see it on television. But I will be there when it is happening. Why? Because God has given us a work to do. I'm still waiting for the promise of God. And it takes a lot of patience. It's not easy. It's not easy. Hello? Are we together? If I had wanted, I would have left the nation long back. If I come, will you not allow me to stay with you? I know a lot of you will open their doors and say, Alfred, come, stay here with us. But that is not the issue. That's not the issue. There is something that God has said that I'm waiting for. I want you to hear me and hear me in the Spirit of God. The salvation of Africa is not in the hands of the politicians. They are making a big mess of the whole thing. But it's in the hands of the sons of God. And you are one of them. Yet you are here sitting complaining of what Cyril is doing. What Ramaphosa is doing. You complain of what Zuma is doing. But God is saying, I have given them into your hands. You can begin to change this whole thing. And this is why God has put you in the North Gate. So that when the move of God begins to move from South Africa to, from Cape to Cairo, you are part of it. Hello? And it's not for everyone. And not everyone goes. But everyone plays a party. When I got saved, I remember, my pastor told me, when we go for a crusade, you must be involved. Maybe you have not gone there, but make sure you are praying for the crusade. Maybe you are not going there, but make sure your finances has taken somebody who is going there. You You may be part of the team that goes there and you don't have a microphone to preach. But let your hallelujah, amen, influence somebody to make a decision for Jesus. We are all involved in God's plan. Remember when Joshua is fighting, he is in the valley. And Moses is with Aaron and Hur in the mountain of the Lord. Their posture there determines what happens in the marketplace. Are you listening to me? So, the destiny of our nation is in our hands. The destiny of your family is in your hands. The destiny of the company you work for is in your hands. The destiny of the company you run, the business you do, is in your hands. And you need to know how you begin to move and shift things and to get things working. Are we together, people of God? But that happens from a place where you know the God whom you serve. And how do you know the God whom you serve? It begins with a relationship with Jesus. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Or you heard about him? Do you know Jesus? Or you just sing about him? It's very easy to be involved. Cleopas and his friend, in this particular time that we have just passed by, when we celebrate the Passover, they were disappointed and left Jerusalem to go to Emmaus. And they are busy talking about Jesus Christ. And Jesus appears to them. And the Bible says he started preaching to them from the prophets right up to, and their eyes were closed. Even though they had lived and stayed with Jesus, they couldn't, after his resurrection, recognize him. Walked with them until they got to Emmaus. And the Bible says he acted like he was passing. Where was he going to? He had come for them. Then they had to beg him to go in. And when they got in, they gave him the bread. And when he had given thanks and breaking the bread, their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And the Bible says, they started saying, why were our hearts not burning? Does your heart burn with the things of God? If you are not in that position, then you must begin to look for it. Why is it that in the church people are raising their hands and worshiping God and my heart is cold? You must begin to ask yourself such questions. Why is that everybody is praying and some go on their knees and some are crying and your heart is cold? Why? You must begin to ask yourself those questions. Why am I in that place? You must be concerned. Rebecca, the Bible says, she came to a point where she says, if all is well, why am I like this? Why is there a struggle in my womb? And in those questions, she found her answer. When you begin to be hungry and thirsty for God, why is not your heart burning? It's for you to put yourself in that place and begin to ask yourself the relevant questions. Why do those things, they don't make meaning to me? Where is your passion? The things that we give our hearts to, some of them will make us stay awake. If there is a rugby match at 11 p.m., you are still awake and you waiting for the program to come. If there is a cricket match, it's happening somewhere in you are awake. You want to see how the match goes. What time are the UEFA Champions Leagues and all happen? What time do we watch them? in the middle of the night and we are all awake because our passion is there. Why then are our hearts cold for the things of God? We are not passionate about that. Why is that so? Where is our passion? Begin to ask yourself those questions. And when you do that, the Lord begins to manifest Himself to you. He's not far away from you, Paul says. In Him we live. In Him we walk. In Him we have our being. He is right here this morning. Begin to ask Him to touch your heart, to reveal Himself to you, so that your heart can burn with passion again for Him. So that you can come to a place where you are passionate of the things of God. Even as you are seated there, may the Lord begin to deal with your heart. He must unplug your heart from the things of this world. We are so much into these things. Some of you can never hear them even utter a prayer in church. But wait until church is finished and they are at the mall. They are the loudest. But when we are here, they are the quietest. And you think they are the most saint. Yet their heart is somewhere already. May God help us. Can you just bow your head? I want to pray. Let this be your prayer. Lord, I want to know you. I've heard about you. I've sung songs about you. I want to know you. Jesus, reveal the heart of the Father to me. Bring me to a place where I know the Father. Let that be your prayer, even as we pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. You came into this world to seek and to save the lost. Lord, bring us from that place where we have heard about you, where we have sung about you, where we have come to church and we don't have a relationship with you. Bring us away from that place. Bring us to that place where we know you, where we are passionate about your things, where we enjoy our prayer lives, when we enjoy devotion, where we value your word, where we treasure it most, where it becomes the treasure of our hearts and our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, help us . Let our hearts be unplugged, Lord, from the things of this world that are fighting for attention with you. Some of us have known you, but our hearts were going cold because of the issues and tribulations And the trials that we are facing, the challenges that we are facing, Father, they were causing our hearts to go cold. Heavenly Father, how I pray, bring us to that place where we know you. Bring us to that place where even without the deliverance that we need, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said, we know the Lord our God will fight for us. But even though he doesn't fight for us, we will not serve the image. We will rather die hoping and putting our trust in you. Lord, and we know you came through for them. I pray that you can come through for my brother, for my sister. I pray, oh Lord, some are doubting you because of that sickness in their body. Some are doubting you because, Lord, their finances are not happening. Heavenly Father, I pray, like you saved these people that were with Paul, and not anyone's life was lost. Undertake for your people. Come through for them. Heal the sick body. Heal their loved ones that are sick. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, bring life to their businesses. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray, bring unity to those families. Bring healing to that marriage. Restore the marriages. Restore the families. Bring back that boy. Bring back that girl. Let them, Father, come back home. In the name of Jesus. Even blood bondages and addictions from substances. Touch the hearts of our loved ones and bring them back to you. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.